This is for the players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Josh Saunders.
And this is For The Players, the pop culture PlayStation podcast over 40 years of playing PlayStation and 6 plus years in that games media combined with we throw our hats into the ring and join that PlayStation conversation.
This PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning at 9 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time on YouTube and 8 a.m. on iTunes and the other podcast services. If you'd like to be a part of that conversation, please join us on Facebook, join us on Discord, comment below. If you're feeling generous, join us on Patreon at patreon.com/thepopculturist. Head over there, check out the tiers. There might be something there that interests you.
If you want to share your love of Pop Culturist on your body, head to thepopculturist.com/shop, where you can buy some sweet t-shirts and cups and bags and books, all these cool things. Bunch of new designs on there at the moment. Some with your face on it, some with my face on it. There are some Dylan faces coming. It's very difficult to put Dylan's face on shit, apparently.
Why?
And I was talking to James Perry, you know, our lovely friend who designs most of our shirts. And I'm like, we need one for Dylan. He's like, well, what do you want? I'm like, I don't know.
Dylan doesn't do stuff often.
It's like, what is Dylan like? Movies. What kind of movies? Movies.
Well, someone really liked one of the new designs because they kitted themselves out, so whoever that is,
thank you whoever decided to buy two singlets, a baseball tee, a shirt, all with your face on it.
Feels good, man.
Someone's really doubled down on you.
Hit me up.
Now, this is where we would normally ask what you've been playing.
Yeah.
But that is the whole centerpiece of this show, of this particular episode. So... I played Fortnite, not very good at it.
Yeah, I play a little bit of Fortnite too.
Yeah,
I do, just when I need to chill out. But of course, the big game of the week is God of War, and that is our main focus for the show. If you are only want to hear our thoughts on the game, there will be a timestamp to that discussion in the description below, so you don't have to sit through the rest of the shit we talk about.
So we're going to just quickly tear through that news, we can dive right on into that God of War goodness in the section we called Inform the Players.
There you go.
Where we tell you the PlayStation news that's happened this week.
Now, I was of a mind to not do any news this week because not much notable happened. But to keep the flow of the show, I chucked a few things in there. Battle Royale Orgy, as I've titled this news. DICE is reportedly prototyping a Battle Royale mode for Battlefield 5. I keep hitting that statue. Yeah. According to an anonymous source from VentureBeat, the potential mode would feature mechanics similar to Fortnite and PUBG, where 100 players battle each other until there's only one team left standing. The studio is allegedly looking into how it can make such a mode work with Battlefield 5's mechanics. The report also states that even if DICE is satisfied with what it has, the mode won't be ready in time for Battlefield 5's launch this fall. The source also tells VentureBeat if the mode does get approved, EA could decide to release it as a free update. Free update from EA, that's fucking funny. Hold it off and include
it'll be free, just littered with everything else.
Yeah, probably. Hold it off and include it in another project instead, like a new Star Wars Battlefront, or make an entirely new standalone Battle Royale game.
So you should mention as well, funny. EA this week also came out going, yeah, look, we really handled the Star Wars Battlefront microtransactions wrong. We're sorry.
It's like the BP of the gaming industry.
Yeah, South Park. We're sorry.
Sorry.
Yeah. It's like after there is no more money that can, but people don't want to give them money. You know, like it's lost its buzz. They're like, oh, now that we can't make anything else from it. Oops.
Same as Warner Brothers did with Shadow of War the other week when they're shutting down their microtransactions way after anyone will be wanting to spend money on it anyway. So
And because they've got DLC coming in the next month or so. Yeah. So they're like...
And of course, in another report, Call of Duty Black Ops 4 may also include a Battle Royale mode. But more importantly, it's rumoured that it will not contain a single-player story mode.
Balls.
Bollocks.
The one thing that makes Call of Duty Black Ops better than the rest is its story.
Yeah. I don't think I've played through a COD story since Black Ops 1.
So I played Black Ops 1 and 2, and they were fantastic. Mm-hmm. Black Ops 3 was like futuristic garbage, so I didn't really enjoy it. So I kind of bounced on that one. But like, out of all of them, I found them the most compelling story. And then
when Sam Worthington was a thing in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Activision was reached out to, and they said, quote, "We don't comment on rumour and speculation. We look forward to revealing Black Ops 4 on May 17th.
And then he winked directly at the camera.
Ink.
Yeah.
And yeah, there's the report that it will also incorporate some kind of Battle Royale mode, of course.
Because everything has Battle Royale. Mm. Like, we're going to get so oversaturated at this point, it's going to hurt.
Yeah,
it's
we've got hurt. All the little rip-off studios doing it. Now we've got the big guys wanting to jump in on it, and, you know, whatever.
No, it's gonna be butt, and it's a bummer.
I mean, look, if anyone can make it enjoyable, the COD teams can. I don't think it would not be fun.
Well, there you go. What would you play, a Battlefield Battle Royale or Battle Royale?
I don't really play either of the games anymore, but I'd probably go more for Call of Duty just because I'm familiar.
Yeah, I would likely go with Battlefield because what I love about Battlefield, especially when, well, you used to be able to do this in like Bad Company and whatnot, is you get, you know, destructive environments.
Mm.
So if someone's camping out in a building, you just blow the fucking building up.
Yeah. There's nothing saying, you know, they won't work that into Call of Duty either. I don't know.
Call of Duty doesn't have destructive environments. It's sort of like the thing they don't do.
They might. No. They might decide to change what they do.
Yeah, they might have to change everything that they do. But that's the way Battlefield's like big thing separates it.
And it already does a larger scale map combat.
It
much
does.
Better
and
as well.
But the only big difference is Battlefield is designed. The way you can win in multiplayer is by working as a team.
Yeah.
So stripping that away and having you forced to be solo, or I guess the team part makes sense, but we're Call of Duty. You don't work as a team. You are.
I'll put it this way, though. If Call of Duty can make PUBG, but with Call of Duty assets and polish.
Yeah, PUBG ain't got nothing.
PUBG ain't got nothing. I'm watching Alex is playing it out there on your Xbox now.
I see. Yeah, it's janky.
It's just so janky and it looks so bad. But, you know, Call of Duty could, I think they could make it work similar to how PUBG works. You know, you find your scar on the ground and then you find your attack. Like, they've got the stuff to make it work look great and run well. So I think if Battlefield and Call of Duty both launch with decent Battle Royale modes, which they'll be at least decent, I think that'll be the nail in the coffin for PUBG.
Yeah, like PUBG had its chance and it blew up and it really mishandled what it's done since.
To be fair, the studio wasn't prepared for that. No, I don't think any studio would have been prepared for that kind of success. And, you know,
unless you're Epic.
No, but, you know, Epic... Yeah, but Epic, they're still fucking up. They put in new things and then the next week they take them out because, like, that actually broke the game. Like, they put in a guided missile a few weeks ago. It's gone. That's locked away in the vault. That's never coming back. So they still make mistakes, but of course Epic has that long history and it's a huge company as well. So, but yeah, to get your more realistic military battle royale, PUBG won't have it.
And it's PUBG is very fun in first person. It adds a lot to it. It makes it more intense.
Yeah.
So we Call of Duty and Battlefield both being first person, like, you're gonna instantly have that oomph to it.
Mm. What about? I'd be interested to see what people would like out of that. If you're listening, let us know.
Yeah, let us know what you think of that. But yeah, Call of Duty has the big time numbers. I think it'll do well.
Yeah. Number three, in the latest twist in the ongoing saga of loot boxes, or similar items that reward purchase with an item at random, the Dutch Gaming Authority, or Kansspelautoriteit, has made the decision that some loot boxes... There it is.
Kansspelautoriteit. It's the last little part that throws me.
It's not important. Has made the decision that some loot boxes can be considered gambling and instructed video game publishers that they will need to make changes in order to comply with Dutch law. Per a translation by Eurogamer, the authority examined the use of loot boxes in 10 games, seemingly the 10 most popular on Steam, and found that 4 of them directly controverse the Dutch Betting and Gambling Act. Although the authority itself didn't name the games involved, NOS reports the 4 games in question are FIFA 18, Dota 2, PUBG and Rocket League. The crucial difference with these games versus others appears to be that loot boxes they provide have a real-world value. Their potential for resale, for example, selling on players or teams from FIFA for real money, develops a real-world value behind the initial purchase, offering items such as this for sale based on chances restricted under Dutch law and requires a gambling license, which these games will need to apply for if they want to continue operating in the Netherlands.
That makes sense.
That's pretty fucking big.
Yeah, it's
like,
pretty
that's
legit.
A big deal.
Like, depending on what the Dutch market's like, of course.
Because, you know, for whatever reason, I fired up Rocket League last week and it gave me 4 keys to, like, open up my loot boxes. Because you win loot boxes from games, but you need to buy keys to open them. And I just got 4. Apparently, you can earn them through play now. And, yeah, so when you open up a Rocket League box, it literally does a slot machine. Like, I'm like, oh, that's... Then I got a really cool car from, like, oh, that's fucking sweet. If it lands on, like, a decal, they're like, oh, that's shit. But yeah, so, you know.
Yeah, she, I don't like this.
Yeah.
When you go,
but then I get something good. I'm like, oh, I do. But then, yeah. So for companies to actually, like, have to apply for, like, a gambling license.
Excuse me.
That's huge in itself, and that really kind of changes the precedent on loot boxes.
But, like, yeah, there is, because especially with PUBG, right, as an example, like, I found this cool jacket that I got in a loot box. I sold it for $10.
Really?
Yeah, bought another game for it on Steam with it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, Steam Marketplace allowed me to, like, just buy another game. I'm like, cool. Yeah,
the Steam Marketplace is a weird beast. I haven't really dove into it, but you hear all the stories, you know, the Counter-Strike... Mm. Weapon skins selling for like $10,000 and stuff, and that's insane. So yeah, that'll be interesting to see how that continues going in the saga of the loot box.
It's good to know that it hasn't gone away.
Yeah, yeah. It is.
Like, it hasn't, wasn't it like a flash in the pan controversy. Yep. It's like people are still paying attention to it, which is really good.
Yeah, and we will continue paying attention to it no matter how boring it gets. Number four, this news actually came out just after we recorded last week, but you
know. No, just before, because I mentioned it. We mentioned it at the end when I recommended Jason Schreier's.
Well, at the point where I put the news cut off.
Yes.
Like, it's no more. Our studio within 2K is allegedly working on a new BioShock game. Kotaku's Jason Schreier's report largely focused on the making of Mafia 3 and the impact it had on developer Hangar 13, but in his reporting, Schreier discovered an unannounced project in the works at a neighbouring secret studio. Codenamed Parkside, this project is said to be the next BioShock, according to the report. Sounds like it's not only top secret, but also quite early in development. In early November 2015, Strauss Zelnick, CEO of Take-Two, which owns 2K, said BioShock is unquestionably a permanent franchise, which led fans to believe the series would see another installment after BioShock Infinite.
You know what I love? I read that article because I read mostly Jason's stuff. And I'm reading, I'm like, oh, yeah, and then it's just a line. It's like, you know, Mafia 3, Mafia 3, working on new development. You know, the process of working with Mafia 3, oh, there's a new BioShock game. And then Mafia 3, blah, 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 blah. I'm like,
wait, what?
Hang on.
What was that last thing you said? Mafia 3?
No, before that. Oh, but new BioShock game. Like, yeah, let's focus on that.
That's not a big deal. Yeah, let's talk about that. No, we're here to talk about Mafia 3 and all its failures.
Yeah. And like, yeah, because there were a lot of problems with Mafia 3. But like, I never played BioShock 2. I never played BioShock Infinite.
Either.
But I really enjoyed BioShock number 1.
Yeah, I really liked number 1 and, you know, the whole Andrew Ryan saga and the message. You know, it was really, really cool because it was... kind of a new concept. It was very unique. Whereas number 2 kind of just followed on from that.
Yeah, and the number 3 was a departure from what it was.
Yeah, yeah, but I hear Infinite is also, you know, very good, but I
remember being blown away by the water.
Yeah, when the plane crashed in the first.
What did you say, as you know, because it had that claustrophobia because, you know, you're constantly walking through tunnels. Yeah, and there's water leaking in and the water's like really
when the plane hits the tunnel and the water starts gushing in, you're like, but yeah, I kind of like my thoughts of BioShock as, you know, BioShock is the game. Yeah. I don't kind of want to, I don't know, it's weird. I just don't have an urge to play the other ones. I feel like I've got a good...
Didn't you buy the remake?
I did get the
remaster, sorry.
Did buy the trilogy. Yeah, I traded it back in after I finished BioShock 1. So that was a bit of a waste. But, you know, yeah, I don't know. I like having that contained. You know, this is my BioShock story, my experience, not tainted or excelled by any other games. So yeah. And the top selling games for the week ending 15th of April 2018. Starting number 10, UFC 3. Number 9, Uncharted 4. Number 8, COD World War 2. Number 7, Horizon Complete Edition. Number 6, GTA 5. Number 5, Rainbow Six Siege. Number 4, Crash the Insane Trilogy. Number 3, Uncharted The Lost Legacy. Number 2, FIFA 18. And number 1, still up there for the last week. Far Cry 5.
Yeah, man.
Like I did say last week it would be... That would have been the last week, but I got... Of course,
we forget it's a week behind.
A week behind, yeah.
I mean, meaning, like I said, my original plan was to like to, kick out as much Far Cry as I can before God of War comes in.
Mm.
But then I forgot that I had to. My PS4 was leaving my house.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and then I came back. I'm like, no, fuck, it's all God of War now.
Yeah. Speaking of God of War, Ryan, it's time to have a chat to the players about surprise, God of War. Santa Monica Studios' latest release on the PlayStation 4.
Cool, so releasing on April 20th, this is essentially a continuation of the story, but also a soft reboot in some ways. Kratos has left Greek mythology behind him, and he's now...
He's left Greece.
He's left the Greece and the mythology behind him, but now he's in...
Midgard.
I was going to say like Netherlands, but no.
Which is... Obviously, you know, based in around the Scandinavia, the Denmark kind of area.
But the North, he's now in Norse mythology. And you're joined by Atreus, his son. Mm. And it's pretty much a story about these two guys going to getting to a destination and bonding through the process.
And learning together. Yes. So, just before we start, I've finished the game once, and I'm about... probably about a third of a way through a second playthrough. So we got the code Tuesday morning.
Mm-hmm.
I finished it on Wednesday night. Now, the code was on the PopC account, so of course all the trophies and all that aren't coming to me. So when I played through the first time, I didn't blitz the story, but I didn't go out of my way to do extra side things. I'm like, yep, let's just keep pushing this story forward. And now in my second playthrough, now I'm really kind of getting into... because I've bought the game for myself, really kind of getting into everything else. Yeah. And you are about... You're probably about... I'm trying to think of what, like, percentage through the game you are. It's probably about 12%.
Yeah. So, like,
You've had a busy week.
I've had a real busy week. Unlike you, I've had to do my day jobs and that sort of stuff, and my kid's been sick and all this garbage. So I've not had as much time as I really wanted to with this.
Plus, you streamed it last night of time of recording.
But yeah, so I streamed it for another 2 hours last night. That was the first 2 hours with James. So that 2 hours I could have played it. But I was like, nah, James wants to come in. Mm-hmm. He's a big Norse mythology guy. So he fucking had a great time.
And you've done an unboxing video as
I've done two unboxing videos
as well. So you've been busy.
I've been busy this week. So I've not spent as a lot of time as I want. But unlike you, on my first playthrough, at least, I have I've absorbed everything.
Yeah,
like I'm wandering off and I'm finding things. I'm just looking at trees. Mm. You know, I'm just absorbing
that
all of it.
Bark is legit.
Yeah, like it's one of those things. Like I want to finish it, but because I've been so hyped and so excited for this, I want to enjoy every part of it.
Mm-hmm. It's worth it too. As much as I want you to get to the end of the story, so we can get into deep talks about the story.
So, of course, no spoilers. We may touch on some things that happened in the first probably like 1 hour, 2 hours, maybe just to help, you know, explain some story beats and stuff. But we're very non-spoilers.
Yeah, because
I don't want spoilers.
Because you don't want spoilers. So, you have played every God of War game except Ascension.
I think I have played some, but I haven't finished Ascension.
Yeah, but you finished every other one.
All the others.
So, whereas I have dabbled in, I think, 1 and 3, but never finished them. But I did watch a couple of YouTube videos to kind of get caught up on all the story and stuff before this. So first thing to take note of is that you don't have to have played the other games to understand what's happening here. There are a few lines throughout and a couple little nodbacks to things that have happened in the previous story, but nothing that would make you kind of go, I don't understand what that was or what is going on.
Mm-hmm.
But there's enough there for the veteran players to go,
Even now, like, he'll throw away a line of, like, you know, I told you not to trust the gods. I'm like, yeah,
because he killed them all. Yeah, and that means don't trust me either. you will notice the big shift in gameplay more than I will. So your initial thoughts on the game, core gameplay itself.
So the big thing that I noticed straight away is the big thing. It's Kratos. Like, look at him over there behind you, Josh. He's thin. He's slender. He's fast. He's lean. He's
tight.
It's all about that quick movement. This is the fast. Come on. Here, he is an older man. The beard clearly shows it. But no, he is very much a brawler now.
Mm-hmm.
The way he fights, the way he moves, it's not as
fast. It's heavier.
It's heavy. It's meaty. Mm-hmm. And when you do get engaged in the fight, it's like the way he's just like big haymakers and shit. Like, you feel different. And as a result, that does change how you play. So previously, like, with there being no jump button, you can't jump, and you can still juggle with the axe, mm-hmm. but not in the same way that you used to be able to. You used to be able to get like 50 hit combos and stuff just by juggling enemies in the air.
Yeah. Okay.
So far. I know that's coming, because, like, I can only imagine that it's coming.
Well, with the skill trees and all that kind of stuff, you can... We'll get into the systems later, but you can eventually really start getting cool juggle combos off and stuff like that.
Because I even know, like, you know, if you do a, like, hold a heavy attack, it gets them up and you can get a couple.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm still imagining there'll be the same, like, insanity that we got with the Blades of Chaos.
Yeah.
On top of that, so his biggest new weapon is the Leviathan Axe. It's fucking rad.
Mm-hmm.
What I love about it is it's the tactile feedback and the audio feedback that makes it so good.
Think as much as this comparison will be, when you throw your axe and recall it, it does pretty much make the sound Thor gets when he recalls Mjolnir in the Avengers movie, that backwards whistle. But when you catch it, you get a slight vibrational feedback in the controller.
Yeah.
And yeah, it makes that like a real heavy sound. And it just really feels like, fuck, yes.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. I did do a little bit of looking into the Leviathan Axe and the brothers that made it, the Holgren brothers,
Brock and Sindri.
Yeah, Brock and Sindri. From what I know, I could be wrong. The Leviathan Axe was designed with the intention of, if Thor ever needed to be taken down, this is the weapon to do so. This is the God Killer.
I'm not going to say much on that, but Brock and Sindri, who made this axe,
also made Mjolnir.
Yeah. And also made many other Norse mythology.
So having not finished it, like, I'm not sure whether it heads that way, but I love the fact that the God Killer is carrying the God Killer.
Yeah. Well, because I'm quite fond of my Norse mythology, more so than Greek mythology, which may be why I didn't really get into the initial games.
Yeah, I quite enjoyed Greek mythology.
Yeah, see, I'm big fan, and I consider myself pretty well versed.
Learned.
Pretty well learned in in some Norse things. So throughout the game, it really shows like how much research the team has done into the Norse mythos and how deep they've gone. And every little thing that kind of seems, I'd imagine people that don't know much about it, that you kind of go, that's weird. That is fucking spot on. And of course, they've put their own spin on everything. And there is one kind of major thing they've changed from the Norse mythos to fit the game. But that doesn't affect how the story progresses anyway. In fact, it makes the story progress better, the way they've kind of shifted it up. But if you're a fan of anything to do with Norse mythology, there are so many things in this game that you will go, wow, they did that. Oh my God, there's that. There's that person. They actually did the thing that they did in the mythology from 1300. So it's really, really impressive how deep they've gone. Because I was like, going into it, I'm like, is it just going to be...
Here's Thor.
Here's Loki. I'm not saying they're in the game, but just here's Thor. Here's like Frigg.
Here is the people that you know.
Yeah.
Like this is like the really Norse mythology. You know, like, yeah, Thor. You know
yeah,
him.
Yeah, you know Thor.
Avengers. Yeah. This is Loki, also in the Avengers.
And then there's Odin, Anthony Hopkins.
Yeah.
But no, they've really kind of. It does seem like they're really taking their time with how much lore they're like, how much.
They've not gone hard.
What characters they're going to be using, and you know there are characters that they're obviously going to be using, but it's really taking a really good pace with kind of introducing you to that world and that mythos, and then just building upon it slowly instead of being like, here's all the gods, kill them.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of the story, Tears in the First Five.
Oh, shit.
So anyone that's been listening to us for any amount of time know that we cry a lot.
Yeah, we're both fathers.
Both fathers. So this especially kind of hit a different resonating note. You know, The Last of Us got me a lot because Joel and Ellie, I also have a daughter. And then, you know, the Kratos and Atreus as well. So the story is they're learning off each other. Okay,
mild spoilers, because this is the first hour of the game. All right.
Okay.
The game opens with Kratos and Atreus
building a
funeral pyre for Atreus' mother. And that's essentially their journey, is to take her ashes to a place.
Yeah. Her final wish was to take my ashes to this place.
Yes.
And that's their journey.
That's the journey. That's what keeps them moving forward. So right off the bat, it's just like, hey, chest punch.
Yeah. Gut punch.
Oh.
But having finished them, what's amazing is seeing how much, obviously Atreus relies a lot on Kratos for direction, but how much Kratos also relies on Atreus to kind of keep him grounded, because obviously, as we've seen from the trailers, Kratos has been trying very hard to control his rage. And he's...
to be a, yeah, that different person. To,
yeah, and, you know, his goal is to make sure Atreus can live safely after he's dead. That's what I gathered from the story, anyway. Yeah. You know, he's teaching Kratos...
the whole idea of the passing.
Yeah, he's teaching Atreus to survive, how to hunt, how to kill. But then at the same time, you see interactions between Atreus and Kratos, and then you see Kratos' facial expression. You're like, he needed that, or that really hurt him.
We are at a fucking point where you can see, like, the way... Dylan, who isn't a big gamer by any stretch of the imagination, he's also been playing this as well. He's been having it as long as we have. So he came to me at work the other day, and he went, "Dude, playing God of War, I just met this character that rocked up at my house," and he's like, "I can't believe what they're doing." I'm like, "What do you mean?" He's like, "In my head, games are, like, blocky and..."
How long has it been since he's played
games? But, like, because when he thinks of games, it's not quite this
level.
This finesse.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? And he's like, "I'm seeing nuances in their face and how they deliver a line and how they..." Mm-hmm. "Their body language." Like, he goes, "This is astounding."
Yeah. Yeah. So we were talking about it before the show, but the, you know, Kratos is obviously... he doesn't say a lot.
Mm.
He says what he needs to when he needs to say it, but he doesn't chit-chat. He doesn't do any of that kind of stuff. But the ability to read his face says more than any lines they could have given him would say.
So incredible, incredible work by Christopher Judge of Stargate fame, coming in and doing...
And it's just the little things like Kratos and Atreus will be talking, conversation's over, and then Atreus says one more thing, and he just does that... just that little side head look, which I give my son all the fucking time. when he says that, he has to get that one last word in. It's like... and that little sigh out the nose as well. Like, everything is just amazing. And even at the start, when they are building that funeral pyre, the very opening scene...
where's the tree?
The tree, and he's... and then towards...
and he's like... even that is like... He is... this is the first thing you see. So, like, the way he holds and caresses that tree, like, you know... that this is something.
And
you
head this against means, it with the eyes closed.
Like, this is a connection to something beyond him. Yeah. And you can see that it actually genuinely hurts him to have to take it down.
Mm-hmm.
And same things when we do realize that it is for the pyre. And, you know, in credit to the... I'm not sure the child's name who plays Atreus, but
meant to look that up,
please find it, yeah. So when he enters that room, just like say goodbye, to say goodbye to his mother for, you know, the last time. It's like, holy shit, this game. And then,
but it's all the little things too, because obviously, you know, Atreus is upset that his mother's just died, and he has his final words. Still, this is the first like 3 minutes of the
game.
When Kratos enters the cabin, he quickly wipes the tears away from his eyes. And it's that little detail, like, I can't seem...
see, even though, but like, with the Atreus though, because this is just the power of where we're at in technology. Like, as he turns, like, you just get this light reflection. When you just go to, like, oh, there you go, Atreus. Or just, like, what's it called? IMDb. They do games now.
Do they?
Yeah, and you can get a cast up for games. But yeah, so, like, and even then, like, Kratos coming in and, you know...
shit.
Where's the spoilers in there?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. All right. Thank you. So, you know, as Kratos comes in and Atreus, like, wanders out, and Kratos has that moment, you know, where he stops and he, like, looks at her and, you know, gives that, you know, like, hey, you're free. Like, this is it.
Yeah.
You know, he picks her up and takes her out, and, like, there are, like, there's moments, of just silence, and the way Kratos looks at...
so the silence speaks more than any dialogue they could have put into the game. Sunny Soljic.
Yeah, Sunny Soljic, you're a fucking champion.
Yeah.
So, and like another thing as well, once again, these are all opening scene stuff. Like, we don't want to get too deep in the later game stuff. We just want to talk about how it's emotive this first part is. So something as simple, like, this is like the little nod for me, and then like the big God of War franchise that it is, you know, where his bandage comes loose on like where the chains were, you know, the chains being the mark of his slavery to the Greek gods and to Zeus, and just when that band comes off.
What kicked it all off? When he made that pact with Ares, and Ares, you know.
Yeah. But like once again in subtle body language, it's when that comes apart, he sees it and he feels that pain and of that life that he had before, you know, the life with his previous daughter, you know, with his previous wife and previous daughter, you know.
So instead of just wrapping it back up, he caresses it for a second.
He holds it and he clearly just represses something, like he shoves something fucking deep.
But then
down.
Atreus walks up behind him, says, "Are we going?" And he says, "No, no, no, no."
He's repressing it, and he tries to wrap it. And Atreus walks up, and he constantly shifts, so Atreus can't see what he's doing. Mm. It's like he's hiding this past.
So pretty much all of that was the first couple of minutes, but that extends out.
But think about how much we had discussed, like how much little awesome is in just this opening 10 minutes.
But all of that, what I was saying, extends for the entire game as well. So it's not just, hey, let's hit him big at the start and then kind of fall into routine. It's for the whole game. And you never know, all of a sudden there's a moment you just go, holy shit, like I felt that.
Is it like... pun not intended, like the one thing that I dislike's the wrong word, it's just me personally, when it comes to parenting, I'm not a big fan of that military parent, like sir, yeah, you know, like it's very non-emotive. I'm not a big fan of that, like I'm a big softy. So you know when he's like, you know, boy, and he's like, yes sir, and he does stuff, I'm like, oh. but then there are clear moments, like once again, these are all early, where Kratos doesn't want to be that. Like he want, like it's, we've seen it in the trailer. It's the reach out but not touching. It's the moment later on where, you know, Atreus is distraught and he grabs him by the head, and you can tell that he just wants to hug him, but he can't, and he just he's. Doesn't want to. He won't let himself open to that. And I hope at the end is there's a big fuck off hug. I'm gonna be a mess. I'm a mess.
That right seems now, a bit cliche to you.
No, I don't care. I want that. Like, cause like,
what happens is better.
Cause they're cold. They're not cold to each other, but you can clearly tell that Kratos is somewhat emotionally detached. And what I'm hoping and what we're seeing is that relationship build and grow and become better, and they,
it's
they
because he yeah. feels like he has to be because yeah. they're living in a very harsh world.
Exactly.
We'll talk about the whole world.
I'm from the sweet soft
world. We'll talk about the world in a second, yeah, but
I'm from the sweet soft world where I can hug my kid.
Kratos' sole goal is to make sure Atreus can handle himself and survive.
Yeah. Now
but then there's also times where, you know, the yes sir, sorry sir has a lot of enthusiasm and emotion behind it. It's not just like, sir, yes, sir, I'm obedient. It's like, boy, go look at that. Yes, sir. Like, you know, let's do this. That too.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's not quite
But I do like at the same time. It's like, it's not always sir. He's like, don't know what to do. It's not like, address me as sir. And he's like, you know, father and dad. Yeah.
Yeah. So the world they've built is fucking amazing.
Yeah.
You won't find environments like that in any other game. So you've just reached kind of a new era, and you're like, I can't believe how vibrant this place was.
Yeah, so going from realm to like, I've gone to a different area where the, you know, the first area is kind of what you've seen in the trailers. It's the woodlands, it's the snow, that sort of stuff. And as I've moved into this next area, it's like polar opposite, and it's lovely, it's vibrant, and you're like, oh shit.
Yeah. The environments they've created are so instantly recognizable. You know, you'll see a screenshot from like a game you're familiar with and go, that's that game, or a picture of an environment from another game, that's Skyrim, obviously.
Yeah.
God of War has the same thing where, you know, a screenshot from pretty much anywhere in the game, you go, well, that's God of War. Like, it's an instantly recognizable art style. And what makes it even more amazing is that the whole game is done in that single shot with, you know, no loading screens. Even from the title screen, it doesn't load you into the game. You hit start game and the text fades out and you start the fucking game. And I thought that was brilliant. Not a lot of games can do that.
Like, it's a very risky thing, and it could have gone good or bad, and from what I've experienced so far, it's worked perfectly. Granted, like, apart from when you die, obviously you have to rewind.
Yeah, but other than that. But that's literally it. Even
like, if you run it through on the casual mode and you don't die, it would be Beautiful.
Even when you fast travel, they've done it in a way there's no loading screen.
Oh, yeah. Not even a lie.
So I've noticed that to keep that, obviously, the draw distance isn't fantastic. You know,
but you're in a lot of, you're not in corridors, but things are relatively closed off-ish from what I've experienced so far. There are some big open areas, but it keeps you very close.
Yeah, but you know, once you are outside, you know, you'll be able to make out the mountains and trees in the distance, but there's not a lot of detail to them.
Don't get me wrong.
Which is fine.
There are moments where you look out at a vista and you just like fucking weep for a whole different reason.
Yeah.
Like I said, I'm playing on like the 4K telly with, you know, that high-end HDRs and shit.
Mm-hmm.
This game is just visually stunning when it wants to be.
With what they've done, how they've recreated the game, they've also changed up how a couple other things work. You do have a loot-based system, like a rarity loot-based system and a crafting system. Not as what you'd think. Like you hear crafting system, you go, oh.
But it's not like get 3 sticks and get 2 stones.
No, it is, you know, materials you find on your journey, you can take them to someone and they can craft new armor for you with varying stats. There's 5 different stats you can have: strength, runic power, defense, vitality, and cooldown reduction.
And luck.
Sorry, yeah, there's 6. But there's enough variety of it that you can kind of specialize how you want to specialize.
Yeah, you can create the Kratos that you want to. It's really good.
So you can have a Kratos with maximum cooldown reduction and doing all your special moves just non-stop. You can be a tanky Kratos with maximum defense. You can kind of level it all out like I normally do and kind of be a jack of all trades. And then if you do get a piece of armor you really, really like, you can upgrade it. So instead of being forced because your armor's under leveled, you can spend materials to upgrade that armor so you can keep it with you for longer because you really enjoy it. Yeah, so there's a couple of different gear pieces and stuff you can put on. I found that system itself to be a little bit, like it's not, it's there for a purpose, but I wouldn't call it interesting at the same time.
I like what it's in there because it completely changes from what used to be done. So in previous God of Wars, you would earn like red orbs when you took out dudes and you would literally just invest orbs into a weapon. It's like 10,000 orbs to do this, to 20,000 to that, and that's it. Like that's the limit of your customization.
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, they've taken what is not a trope's the wrong word, but like it's not seen here. It's somewhat standard across games at this point to have this sort of creative freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it really fits well. I think it allows you to have a very focused, very linear story, but put your mark on it.
Yeah, so you get a skill tree in this, and your skill tree is, you know, you can upgrade your Leviathan Axe, you can upgrade your shield and your rage mode, or you can upgrade Atreus. You can do all 3, obviously, throughout the game. You get XP for doing things. You spend that XP to unlock the traits you want. But with that skill system and the gear system, you can be like, I'm going to be the smashiest Kratos who just uses the Leviathan Axe the whole game. Now, I did that the first game, my first playthrough. The second playthrough, I'm like, I'm all barehanded with the shield.
Punch.
So I've been putting all my points into barehand shield and a little bit of defense and vitality. Just the result is always the same, but it's kind of how you get there is up to you. You know, how you want to build your Kratos to be. I found upgrading Atreus's arrows to be very, very... What's the word I'm looking for? It's not too interesting because it doesn't impact how you play, but very, very helpful upgrading Atreus' arrows and getting used to using them during combat. I found that to be like, this kid fucking shreds now, like more than I do. So I found that really cool too. So all this stuff kind of blends together, like seamlessly. Like there's not one thing that seems out of place or weird. There's plenty of collectibles for you to get out in the world. Atreus keeps a journal, so if you want to read a little bit more onto the enemies you've found or the different collectibles you've found, you can go as deep as you want to go with that. And it's just amazing how they've got, like, we've got a great combat system, we've got a great world, we've got a great story, we've got great off systems, and we've managed to put it all together and just make it work, and nothing seems out of place. And it's so cool.
And like the biggest, like this is going to sound like a dig at the competition, but it certainly is not really the case. It's just more of an example. What they've done here is they've created a character that, so they have evolved a character that was created at a very specific time and place. Kratos was the PlayStation 2, Xbox era of just the super masculine main character. We're talking, you know, because around the same time it was like Halo and Gears of War.
Yeah.
And like that's what they, you know, the super ultra masculine, like 14-year-old boys. Yeah, blah, 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 like punching boobies, you know, like.
But we've all grown up.
We've all grown up. And Kratos has grown up with us. Mm. And like compared to the competition, you know, as in using Halo, using Gears of War as an example, like they have failed to change and adapt.
They now, tried with Gears of War 4, from what I've read. They tried.
They've got a bearded Marcus Fenix, so yeah, the answer is beard.
Yeah.
Like, granted, it's taken 5 games to get Kratos to where he is now, but from what I've felt so far, and like what I've, you know, playing through them all and remembering back to them all, we wouldn't have got to this Kratos without those stories. So it's not an issue of like, let's just reinvent the characters. Like, let's take what we've currently done and let's bring it into something
new. But it was a risk too, because if they didn't pull it off, you would have alienated a whole fan base. Yeah. And I'm glad they did.
I am so glad they did.
And like, seeing the video Corey Barlog put out, the director of God of War 3.
While in Australia,
while in Sydney, when he opened Metacritic for the first time to see how people, he's shaken and he's like, fuck. And then just, he opens it, silence, and then just tears. He's like, I'm so proud. And I'm like, oh, I'm proud too, man.
Yeah, and like, that's one of the things, you know, being as invested as I have been in this game, and I guess in this franchise as well, you know, and most recently, like, we're at a weird place. We get super cynical about stuff now. Mm. You know, like, there's very few games that get me hyped, that get me excited. And I was hyped and excited for this game, and I'm so glad that it's delivering at all steps.
Did you see Corey's comments about why he put that video publicly on the internet?
No.
He's got a 3-year-old son
Yeah.
who, when his son gets upset, he runs and hides because he thinks it's not manly to cry. So he's showing his son, his dad just cried in front of millions of people, and it's okay to be a man and cry.
Holy shit.
That's why he put the video out.
But like,
I'm like, Corey, stop. My heart, it hurts.
And
like, man,
I can only imagine, like, side note, another thing that fucking got me. I was on Twitter and I saw that Corey's dad had messaged him going, you've made something amazing. It's almost like, you made something amazing, boy. I'm incredibly proud of you. I'm like,
So it was when he did that video, it was 93. During the video, it ticked up to 94. It's now sitting at 95.
Yeah.
Making it the highest rated PS4 exclusive on Metacritic. Tied with The Last of Us Remastered, which is also a 95, but that technically released on PS3 as well. Yeah. So, yeah.
So it is the most well received PS4 title.
That's out of about 100 critics. So that's pretty it's insane.
It's insane. But the point, like, where I was going with that in terms of, like I said, I guess I've been on the journey with this as well.
Mm-hmm.
I do remember the reveal at the
2015.
Like, I know it was in the works, but that reveal of like the boy playing the things, and it's like, when the door opens, like, boy, and it's like, and I'm like,
but the thing is that Kratos is such an iconic character that even though I didn't really have much shit with the games, even I was like goosebumps and I was instantly hyped. but I had no big connection to Kratos or the franchise other than, well, yeah, they were pretty fun at the time, I guess. But yeah, when it was boy, and I'm like, that's God of War, I was like, holy fucking shit.
I remember the review from the shows, and I literally just excitement.
Yeah.
And like, I've had that excitement ever since. Like, granted, like, we both went on sort of media blackout, like, none of us have read reviews, none of us have, you know, well,
I have now.
You have now. You know, I've watched very minimal videos. I've done almost nothing. I've watched all the trailers. I haven't watched all the trailers. I watched the ones at E3. There was a story trailer a little bit while ago that I watched with the volume off so I could just visually see it.
Yeah.
There was a gameplay leak as well. I avoided that. So like, I think I'm so glad that I kind of took that initiative and rather being like, well, look, we work in games media, you probably know what we're doing. I'm like, yeah, oh, fuck it. Nah.
This is for me. But having said all that, you know, the game's changed a lot, but the spectacle is definitely still there. You know, you expect Kratos from previous games to do some amazing things, climb giant beasts and do shit. You're like, oh my God, I can't believe that. That's all still there. They've really pulled back on the quick time events because they're not really accepted this day and age.
Yeah, a couple of Krypton through, and I was like, oh yeah, nice. Yeah. Like, from so far, they've come in enough for me to be like, nah, I remember quick time.
Yeah.
Enough to be like, yeah.
They're there. They're definitely there, but they're not not intrusive. Like, you're not going to get through 7 of 8 button presses and miss the last one, fuck up, and have to start that whole process over again. So they're definitely there just as like a, this is where we came from, but they're not intrusive, but you're still doing amazing things. There's a line from a trailer where you don't see what Atreus and Kratos is looking at, but Atreus looks at Kratos and says, can you kill something that big? And Kratos is like...
Yeah, there's a look, and you kind of pans back from his what looks like a giant creature, and it's like, yeah, can you kill something? And it's almost pretty much like...
Yeah, are you fucking serious?
Yeah,
the story is a lot deeper than I thought it was. I can't talk about it because pretty much anything I can say about the story I would consider a spoiler to myself. But
And I would consider a spoiler.
It goes so much deeper than I thought it would. And we knew it would be an emotional story, you know, Kratos trying to, you know, show his son how to do things and all that. But it goes so much deeper, like I've said it 4 times. It goes just a lot of dialogue and all that I go, I just didn't expect to kind of be hit that hard. And maybe it's because I'm a parent to a son who's about the same age as Atreus at
and
the moment.
And the two of you look very similar together.
We do. It might be a cool cosplay if I can get shredded. You know, I like my quarter.
We'll shave your belt.
I like my quarter pounders a little bit too much. But this is like when I was playing Monster Hunter at the start, I'm like, it's surprising to get, you know, game of the year so early in the year. It's not. I enjoyed Monster Hunter a lot, because I enjoyed the gameplay loop and the cycle of everything. But this God of War hits me in such a different way. I'm like, this is art. Monster Hunter was a fantastic game. Yeah. God of War is a work of art. And I just, everyone needs to play it. Like my dad can't wait to lend it off me when I'm done with it. Mum saw a trailer. She's like, you know, what movie is that? I'm like, Mum, it's a game. I think you'd actually really enjoy watching Dad play this game.
My stepdad has been talking to me for the better part of like 3 weeks about it. He messaged me. He's
hyped as well.
Yeah, he messaged me. He's like, so like, what about God of War? When's it come out? I'm like, it comes out Friday. He's like, picking it up? Like, I've had it since Tuesday. He's like, what? Yeah, and then Mum messaged me. She's like, he's really pissed at you.
I was playing it Tuesday night, and a buddy of mine who I work with every day is like, you lucky fucking cunt playing God of War already, because that's all we talk about when we're working together.
Yeah. You have to work for it though.
Huh? We did have to work for it. I'm very, of course, very, very thankful for that code to us.
Yes, we should mention, thank you very much, PlayStation Australia, for providing us the code for this.
Mm-hmm. I still bought it anyway.
I spent like $250 on it.
Who was it? I think Alex said to me, why'd you buy it when you already got it? I'm like, respect, man.
This game needs.
Yeah, and I don't do that often. I think I did it with Persona 5.
Yeah, you bought
Persona. I bought 5, it anyway. God of War definitely deserves it as well.
Yeah, as in, like, I'm in no place to give my final review or thoughts or anything on it. I'm still a relatively early days, and I do think this is something like where sometimes there are games that you can really kind of suss out what it's going to be and where it's going to go, early on.
Yeah.
Where I do feel this, you have to go to the end of this. I have read some, you know, we have seen some reviews where like okay, you've done literally 5 hours and then you've reviewed it.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you can tell the reviewers that have played the game but haven't finished it, because just some of their thoughts don't quite make sense. And of course, you know, there are big reveals at the end of the game. That's expected. That's video games these days. Mm-hmm. Finishing the game, like, you don't know what's going on. I mean, you do know what's going on, but up until the final credit roll, you're still kind of like, fuck, I didn't expect that, or, you know, this is crazy, I didn't think that was going to happen. So all the way through, it keeps you kind of guessing, right up to the credits. So
yeah, I can't wait to go back to it. Literally before we started recording, I was playing it.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, can we hop? I was going to fight this thing. Like, give me 5 minutes. Yeah.
So we might come back next week to go a bit more in depth with spoilers, maybe.
Yeah, we might. Or maybe if the demand's there, we can have a little bonus episode.
Yeah, we could record
just a spoiler show.
Just
do spoilers.
Yeah, we could do that too. It's definitely warrants talking about more in depth when we can. Obviously, it's too early to do spoilers now. One, because Ryan has finished it, but even if he has, we wouldn't have done spoilers anyway.
It's been out a day since... As the time of recording, came out yesterday.
Yeah.
As the day this post, it's been out 3 days. Like, that's... No.
But there's a whole episode we can do in the future where
it's going to go.
I can kind of, well, I think I can kind of tell you where it's going to go and what the big references are in this current game to what's going to happen in the actual mythology. I think that'd be a cool episode.
Very cool.
Might be a cool standalone episode, you know, of the mythology of God of War.
Yeah, why don't you just make your own, like, you haven't done a little solo video in a while. Maybe
I don't like
crank something out.
I don't have the confidence.
We'll work on it together, but you can run it.
Yeah, maybe. That's it. We're not going to give final thoughts here.
Yeah, so we're not in a place. You know, this
I mean, I am, but I don't.
Yeah, it's a small video where you're like, hey, it's a review. Just my first impressions. Like, it's not that. Yeah. Like, we're going to give this game deserves the respect and all the time that it needs.
Plus, I also want to. I mean, I've finished the story, but I do want to get through a lot more of the side content before I. Because there's a lot of side content in the game that you will not see if you don't actively like go to it. Like there are whole areas that aren't involved in the main story that you wouldn't find unless you were exploring optional bosses, like all that kind of stuff. Yeah. So yeah, just a chance for us to gush about the latest game.
Yeah,
but we will return to
return to the God of War. But let us know, have you jumped into God of War? What are your thoughts on it? Where are you currently sitting? No spoilers, of course. Just talking approximate time frames.
Yes, please.
If there are any spoilers, they will be deleted in the comments below. I will fuck them off. That's my job. Because I'll read it and go, oh, man, fuck you.
Had a recommended video on my YouTube feed today where the thumbnail was just like spoilers. A spoiler for the end of the game.
Ugh.
The literal thumbnail. No text, like a screenshot from the game of a huge spoiler. And it's like, fuck you, dude.
That's the internet. Yep. But anyways, that game is currently out. It's God of War. It's fucking fantastic. But there are still some games in the near future. I mean, although they're probably going to be garbage, probably shouldn't really care for them anyway. But they are
coming. That's a bit harsh.
God of War is taking all of my brains right now. But that's this is where you jump into the section where we talk about the games that are coming to players. We essentially just read the drop from the PlayStation blog.
Cluster Tumble, PS4 Digital. Code 51, Mecha Arena, PSVR, Digital. Oh, I missed one. Cosmic Star Heroine, PS Vita, Digital, Crossbuy. Dead Secret, PSVR, Digital. Death Road to Canada, PS4, Digital. That'd be straight through America. Devious Dungeon, PS4, PS Vita, Digital. Dream Angling, PSVR, Digital.
Ooh.
Emily Wants to Play 2, PS4, Digital. Emily Wants to Play 2, too.
Bad.
Jolt bad Family thing. Robot Racer, PS4 Digital. Just in Time Incorporated, PSVR Digital. MLB Home Run Derby VR.
Wait, what?
PSVR Digital. The games are garbage.
Yeah.
Can you crush it in the most immersive and authentic Home Run Derby VR game presented by Major League Baseball?
Yes. Yes, I can.
Good to know. Pick-a-Pix Color, PS4, PS Vita, Digital. Psychedelica of the Black Butterfly, PS Vita, Digital and Retail. Rick and Morty Virtual Reality, PS
Retail
VR.
Release.
Retail
been out
release.
Digital for a while, but it's money.
Space Jacked, PS4, Digital. Survive, Mr. Cube, PS4, Digital. The Swords of Ditto, not the Pokemon, PS4, Digital.
Oh.
To Leave, PS4, Digital. That's it. But yeah, that's the drop for the week, but as we are doing from now on, Ryan, it's time to share with the players some other games or forms of media they may enjoy listening
to. Yes, and like with last week, we did request for some of the community members to jump on and give us some of their recommendations.
Yeah, so Max Cooper recommends FX's Legion TV series. Amazing.
We've got Salam Athar, who jumped onto the YouTube comments. He has say, he goes, I recommend, he goes, for me, it's Mad Max. I enjoyed that game a lot, and now when it comes to PS Plus, this really reminded me how much the car combat, how fun the car combat is, sorry, and how good the open world is.
It was surprising when we played that at our whatever expo we're at. I was like, this is really good. To what I, you know, movie games, you're like, but Mad Max was really, really good, and it is free this month.
This month, PS Plus.
So you got about another week and a half to get that for free.
And another one from the YouTube comments, regular contributor Hooded Dude has jumped in with a book recommendation. He has recommended the book Prince of Thorns. I asked him to elaborate, and he goes, "All right, wall of text incoming." It is a fantasy novel in medieval times, the usual deal. However, the book is written from the point of view of the villain. This dude is a psycho, and he does some really dark things over the course of the book. In the first 5 pages, he has already burnt a village to the ground. But he's not the usual villain whose motivation is usually, I want to destroy everything. He has some real goals in mind and a real backstory, which you get to experience through some flashbacks. And he actually becomes almost likable because you understand where the anger comes from. It's dark, but very interesting and a very different from other fantasy novels you read.
That sounds fucking rad.
Villain with real motivation.
I'm all due for a new book. There that sounds go. Cool. It's kind of like Kratos, you know?
Yeah.
You understand where the anger comes from. I'm going to also recommend a book to tie in with God of War's release. Neil Gaiman has a novel called Norse Mythology, which is all his take and his research and his rewritten history of all the Norse gods from the origins all the way to Ragnarok. So if you did enjoy God of War and you would like to know more about what you see in the game, the environments, the other gods that might be in the game, Norse Mythology by Neil Gaiman, who is a very acclaimed writer, by the way. He's done lots of cool things. Highly recommend that book.
Now, mine, keeping the God of War theme going, let me just do something really quick.
You don't know.
No, I have an answer. I want its full name. So, for God of War 3, they released a small EP featuring a couple of artists. It's called God of War Blood and Metal. So, it's a 7-track EP. Featuring songs from Killswitch Engage, Trivium, Dream Theater, Taking Down, Opeth, Mutiny Within, and The Turtlenecks. So these are guys, and all the songs are God of War inspired.
Yeah, yeah. So they'll have the heavy, like, the Greek kind of...
Yeah.
Tunology?
Well, not even that. It's just more of, like, Kratos as a character. Like, okay. Example, Trivium songs called, you know, Shattering the Skies Above. It's all about, like, I'll destroy song. Fucking everything.
Yeah.
You know,
that's cool. I like that.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I love it. Like, the Killswitch song, My Obsession, is fantastic. The Trivium one is dope.
Should have mentioned before, the music in the new God of War is fucking schmick.
It's not metal, but it's dope.
No, yeah. It's,
but yeah, I recommend it. God of War, Blood and Metal. It's a fantastic little EP.
Right. Well, that PlayStation conversation happened on a Monday morning at 9 a.m. Australian Standard Time on YouTube and 8 a.m. on iTunes and the other podcast services. If you'd like to be a part of the conversation, simply join us on Facebook, join us on Discord, comment below, or join us on Patreon at patreon.com/thepopculturist. Head over there, check out the tiers. There might be something there that interests you.
If you want to show your love and support the Popculturist on your body, head to popculturist.com/shop, where you can buy shirts and mugs and books and pillowcases even, all with cool new designs, especially one God of War themed, keeping it going. We've got Josh's face, but like Kratos.
With a cigarette
hanging out of it, because that's what... That's
and aviators.
Yeah. a photo taken from EB Expo 2017.
Yeah.
Oh, and we should mention, we are on Twitch. Twitch affiliated. Come over there. Watch us do things. But until next week, I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Josh Thornton.
And that was For the Players.
Oh, yeah, we're Twitch affiliated. No big deal. No, don't worry about it.